Let us all say amen. I don't know about you, but that song there gives me some encouragement on this time side of life. No matter what transpires, no matter what goes on in my everyday life, I have a promise from God that if I remain faithful, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, until he calls me from labor to the other side, he has guaranteed that I'll receive a crown that fadeth not away. It's good to see you once again this morning. I did miss you guys from last week, but you know, it's just something about being around God's people that just take me to a higher plateau. And it's always good to be back in your midst. And I heard that Brother Jeremiah did an excellent job. Amen. But this morning, as we look at, we've been looking at this text now for 9 months. And every time I look at this text, like I've told you, I've always managed to see something in it that helps me to stay on the right track. Paul writes these words to the church at Corinth, words to encourage their hearts and to remind them and encourage them of who they are and how they ought to live their everyday life. And I'm learning to be a true ambassador of Christ. I must be ready to give an answer at all times. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And so when it's time to proclaim the message to a world in which we live in, I am ready to do it regardless of the circumstances and situations. And I'm going to show you this morning that if you hold to God's unchanging hand, if you stay with the word of God, you're going to suffer persecution on this time side of life. And I'm learning that your biggest foes are going to be those of your own household. And so I want to gird up our minds. I want to encourage us, to prepare us, to stop and think about who we truly are. As ambassadors of Christ, I'm learning something. As ambassadors of Christ, I'm learning you must be bold in your message of the cross. That's right. And I'm learning that this boldness does not come from the wisdom of man. The boldness I'm talking about comes from the word of God. That's why Jesus was saying, John chapter 5 and verse number 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify concerning me. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 17 and verse number 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word, thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I'm a firm believer that when you stick with the truth, you don't have to worry about anything else. Amen. And so this morning, as we look at the ambassador must be bold. And I want to show you that this boldness of the cross carries a lot of weight. It carries, first and foremost, a humble spirit, a humble attitude that most people just don't have. Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen this. This is something that already cut me. I'm just coming down your street. But I'm going to show you this morning that in order for you to be bold in the message of the cross, you have to believe that Jesus is really who he say he is. And then your life has to be in harmony with what you teach. You always tell the preacher, practice what you preach. Isn't that what you tell me? Then why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you practice what you preach? But I understand if you're preaching everything but what thus saith the Lord, you're preaching what you preach, what you live and what you teach. In this message here this morning, I want to show us as ambassadors of Christ, it requires something of each and every one of us. First and foremost, it requires total surrender of you. Right. Amen. And I thought I had a handle on it, but I'm still learning that I can get a better handle on what I have. Because in order for me to sacrifice me for the cause of Christ, guess what's important? Nothing but Jesus Christ. I live in a world where the world says it's all about self-preservation. You know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I come before anybody else. No, I just stopped by to tell you this morning that you ain't all of that in a bag of chips. All you are is a lump of dirt with a bow tie or a dress on. That's all we are. But I want to show you this morning that the boldness that I'm going to talk about requires the individual first and foremost to surrender his will. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, and I'm learning what a desire is. I thought I knew that when I first got married. Yep. Amen, Walls. But I had to learn what a desire is. It's not about just because she's pretty and walk good and talk good. No, it goes deeper than that. Yes. The desire is I'm willing to sacrifice my life for her life. And if you're not willing to do that, stay out of marriage. Stay out of marriage because that's what it means to sacrifice my will for the will of my mate. Isn't that what our Lord and Savior did? If we're the bride of Christ and the groom sacrificed his life that you and I might have life, that's what we got to do. And I'm learning as an ambassador of Christ, I have to sacrifice everything for him. Jesus said, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Then Jesus raises a question. What does it profit a man? You know, we like prophets, don't we? Oh, come on, y'all. Don't pretend like you don't. Okay, I tell you what. Write your check out to me, and I'll take all your profits. Yeah, we understand profits. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Church, I'm learning in order for us to be bold in the message of the cross, we got to understand something about the cross and about the message. The message is never about you and I. Amen. The message is about Jesus Christ and him as the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 16 and round about verse number 18, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're one of the prophets. But he turns to his disciples and say, but who do you say that I am? Peter says that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And see, in the believer, the ambassador of Christ has to believe without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, then you're on the right track. And see, and you got to believe that and be willing to sacrifice your life in service to him. Oh, yeah, it's easy to talk this game. Oh, yeah, I can remember when I first started, I could talk a good game. Matter of fact, I was so good, I could talk a mosquito out of his wrestling jacket. That's just how good I was. Amen. But I'm learning. It ain't about talking. It's about living what thus saith the Lord. And I want to show you this morning that an ambassador of Christ must be bold when it comes to the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech. I came knowing one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So my message this morning in being bold is I know but one thing, that God sent the very best of heaven to die on the cross that I don't have to go through the pain when I die. That's right. And you know what that does to me? That motivates me to know that the Lord that I serve has taken the sting out of death and has given me the victory on this time side of life and in the life to come. See, as ambassadors of Christ, I'm learning in order for you to be bold, you got to understand and really believe that he is who he say he is. Jesus said, you'll die in your sin unless you believe that I am he. I want to encourage us this morning as we look at how an ambassador must be bold in his message to the cross. I got to ask you these questions. Those of us who have obeyed from the heart, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, and have been added to the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, and verse number 22. How bold are you when it comes to proclaiming the gospel? And I'm learning this boldness comes from a study of the Word of God. Oh, yeah, I can make this Bible say anything, but if I'm going to make it say what God wants it to say, it's got to be line upon line, precept upon precept. And I'm learning in order for you to really do that, it requires a regular diet of the Word of God. I can't pick this thing up today and be holy tomorrow. And if you are, you are fooling yourself. Psalms division 1 verses 1 through 6. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight ought to be. No, he said his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the psalmist said, he meditates day and night. And I'm learning that in the midst of my trials and tribulations, when I don't have an answer for the things that are going on, I cry out, Abba, Father. And the only reason I can cry out, Abba, Father, because I bathe myself with the word of God. And it's the word of God that helps me in the struggles that I face in my everyday life. You're looking at me funny. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8. Paul says, we're troubled on every side. I don't know about you. I got trouble on every side. I know good and well Satan is out to destroy me. He wants me to be depressed. He wants me to be just like. But I made up in my mind that I'm going to serve him. And I'm not going to worry about anything else. Look, let me show you something real quick. This ain't part of my lesson, but this ain't going to cause you nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 7, Paul says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The treasure of the gospel of Christ that is able to bring men out of darkness into a marvelous light. I got a treasure that's more powerful than anything on the face of this earth. How do you use your treasure? Are you like the man that took it and put it in the ground? Paul here says we had this treasure in earthen vessels. And if you don't understand, go back and read the rest. He says that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal bodies. For which cause we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal bodies, mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith. Yes. I think that's our problem. We don't understand that God gave us something to help us. That's right. When you can't help me, when Sister Harmon can't help me and my children, I have something that goes beyond them. And what I have is the Holy Spirit. If I better drop that in, if I let it guide me and direct me, it'll bring me to a plateau in my Christian walk where you'll think I'm crazy. And I know most people think I'm crazy. Amen. That's all right. I am. Most people think I'm foolish. Yeah, I am. Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. How about you? How about you? In your Bible, whether you know it or not. He didn't stop there, though. He says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace through thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of God. For which cause stand, do not lose faith. I put me in there. Why? Because church, either I believe it or I don't. And I don't know about you. When I was in the world, I was worldly. Now that I'm in Christ Jesus, I follow what thus saith the Lord. And I've learned you can't mess with me unless I let you. You hear me say all the time, I only let who I want up here. Okay, yeah. I don't want you up here. Guess what? You can't get up there. Yeah. Paul says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment, which worketh for us afore exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen. I'm going to let that soak in. Amen. You know. Y'all need to stop looking at the world things. Paul says we don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. I'm only going to be here for a short while. I'm looking for that crown that fadeth not away that is reserved personally for me. That's right. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And church, I don't know about you. I can't wait till that day come. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say I was in a hurry. But if he calls me, you weep for yourself because I know exactly which direction I'm headed.
an ambassador of Christ has to be bold. And I'm going to show you what makes us bold here in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 7. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Dropping down to verse 17 in that same text, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God who has reconciled. I've been reconciled. Kathy, I don't know about you. I know where I came from. I used to be a sinner. Amen. And so did you, in case you didn't know that. I used to be. But thanks be to God that he could send his son to die on the cross to free me from the sins that I got and caught up in. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that we're in Christ Jesus, Christ calls us ambassadors. And I'm learning that as ambassadors of the cross, we must learn to be bold in what we believe in. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And I want to show you something, that when you become bold in your ministry, you're going to have some problems. Amen, Walls. You're going to have some serious problems. And I want to show you something, that when you stand on what thus saith the Lord and not what you think, you're going to have some problems. In Acts chapter 7, we understand that that's the text where Stephen stands before a hostile group. He reminds them of Abraham and how God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldean, and how God would tell Abraham, in thy seed all nations shall flow. And he stands before this hostile crowd and he reminds them that Moses was an example that God gave to the children of Israel. 40 years he lived in Pharaoh's house. And after a while he said, I need to go see my people. 40 years he stayed with his people until he got out into the wilderness. Saw this bush. Some of y'all know the story. Yeah. Saw this bush burning. He said, I got to go find out what's this up. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, God told him, take your shoes off, son. It's holy ground here. Yes. And God revealed to Moses that you're going to deliver my people out of bondage. Mm-hmm. Stephen stands before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he reminds them of what God has done for them. That's my job this morning, is to remind you it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and don't do what God said. It's, church, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be beaten with many stripes because we know the truth. First Peter, you're looking at me funny. I got the Bible. First Peter chapter 5 and round about verse 15, 17. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I got ahead of myself. 1 Peter chapter 4. Judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Church, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. But Stephen stands before the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he tells them and he recounts to them what God has done for them. But I venture to say that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are no different than you and I. Amen, Walls. Because I'm going to show you the boldness of this young man. He was so bold that when he called them into play, they got upset. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's just like you getting upset at me because I tell you, you ain't doing nothing. Don't get upset at me. Just check yourself and see whether or not you're doing what God requires you to do. And if you ain't, don't get upset at me. Get upset at yourself and do something. Stephen stands before this hostile crowd, and I want you to listen to what he says to them. In verse number 50 in Acts chapter 7, he says, has not my hands made all these things? He's recalling of what God told Israel. Verse 51, stiff neck. Ooh, I wish I had time to deal with stiff neck. We ain't got no stiff necks in the church, do we? Stiff neck, uncircumcised of the heart. Now, this is a gospel preacher here. This is an ambassador of Christ standing before these Jews and calling them some stiff neck individuals. Yes. We ain't got none in the church, do we? Oh, I'm going to move on because that's not part of all that. He said, you stiff neck, uncircumcised in the heart and in the ears. What are you talking about, Stephen? You hear the word of God.
the word of God penetrates your ears, and that's as far as it go. Don't make a difference in your life. He says, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slayed them and slew them before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayed and murdered. Who has received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? Paul, Stephen here is reminding them that you received something.
Yes.
But you're stiff-necked. But I want you to listen to the people, because the people ain't no different than you and I. The Bible says in verse number 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. I wish I had some time. We come here every Sunday. I'm going to take the time every Wednesday. We're going to stop up our ears when it's time to assemble and do the will of the Father. When it's time to seek and save the lost, everything is important but seeking and saving the lost. Are we stiff-necked? Are we hard of hearing? Yes, we are. The Bible says these individuals were mad as Stephen. The Bible said, and they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran up on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their cloak at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. But I want you to see something about this gospel preacher. The Bible says in verse number 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and said, Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled it down, cried with a loud voice, and lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he went to sleep. Some powerful stuff. I'm talking about the boldness of a servant. And I want to show you, as ambassadors of Christ, we have to be bold. And the reason why the cross is so important to us is we have to understand that God has left you and I in charge of the cross. That message is a message to bring men out of darkness into a marvelous light. See, as ambassadors of Christ, we must be bold in our speech. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, around about verses 1 through 5, Paul talks about there are some enemies of the cross. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I'm learning that you can talk this and still be an enemy of Jesus Christ, because we must speak and teach as the oracles of God. Once again, I want to show you another individual that was bold when it came to proclaiming the gospel. In Acts chapter 4, and round about verse number 1, John and Peter is in the temple. And as they're in the temple, they start to tell these Sadducees and Pharisees that you've crucified the Messiah. The Bible says that these individuals got upset. You go back and read it. I don't have time. Acts chapter 1, you read the whole chapter. The Bible says they got tired. They got tired of Peter and John. The high priest Annas, chapter 4. Verse 6, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem, set them in the midst. And they raised a question, verse 7, by what power or by what name do you do these things? See, church, we don't understand that the power of the cross has been given to you and I.
Amen.
That's right. I don't have to beg you to come to this. I got the power to help you change your life. But see, we got to first believe that it'll change our lives. These individuals stand before this hostile crowd, and look at what they say in verse number 9. If we this day be examined of the good things done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you. Now, they upset. They really upset. They're upset to the point where they're ready to stone them. But John Peter didn't stop there. Verse number 12, it ought to be a text that you ought to know by heart if you're in the church. Huh? Y'all know this by heart? No, I know you don't. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no name under heaven given among man. Whereby? We must be saved. Amen. Boy, these Jews done really got upset at these boys now. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and round about, let me get there, 19, Peter says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in your sight, the sight of God, to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, the ambassador of Christ has to be bold when it comes to the cross. And his boldness sets him apart from a lot of people. And let me tell you something. The boldness I'm talking about is bold first and foremost with humility. That's right. An ambassador of Christ is humbled and submissive. He understands what meekness is. And see, but sometimes we think meekness means weakness. No, no, meekness means power under control. And so these individuals here are under control. As they set them before them, they beat them. And then they send them on their way. And they tell them, don't preach in this name no more. Acts chapter 5 and round about verse number 29, Peter says, we all obey God rather than man. And I'm learning that as an ambassador of Christ, I'm going to obey God. And I'm not worried about what man say. See, the examples that you and I have as ambassadors of Christ must be ready to defend the gospel of Christ. And we must be ready to tell men, women, boys, and girls in the spirit of love what thus saith the Lord. And then we got to remind one another what God requires of each and every one of us. Paul writes these words to a young gospel preacher, words to remind him and encourage young Timothy and to let him know that there's some trouble going on, that even in the house, you're going to have some problems. But the ambassador of Christ must be bold in his speech to the believer as well as to the non-believer. 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to these bold words that Paul would tell Timothy. Verse number 1, now the Spirit especially says that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the church. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to merit and commanded to abstain from meat, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Paul tells Timothy that in the latter time, some of the folks that sit in your midst are going to depart from the faith. But Paul tells Timothy, this is what I need you to do, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 1. I'm talking about a bold prophet of the message. The Bible says, I charge thee before God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and at his kingdom. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come. I think it's here. I don't know who told us we can do our thing and call ourselves a Christian. Paul tells Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Yeah. Well, ain't it easy to follow a lie? Verse number 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul says, for I am ready to be offered, and my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. See, an ambassador of Christ has to be bold in his message. And I'm learning that the boldness comes from the word of God. Amen. And the more we understand the word of God and allow God's word to be number one in our lives, church, we'll be bold in our message to the cross. There are folks that are lost. There's folks that need Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's sad to say he's left us with the message. And we done fallen down on the job. I'm learning, church, in order to understand who we are, we got to be bold in our message of the cross. I don't know about you. And you know what makes us bold?
We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And not only do we believe it, guess what? We're obedient to his commandments. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Jesus says, "Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you?" Church, I'm learning that if I really believe that he's the Son of God, I'm going to do what he commands me to do. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We understand that's the Great Commission, going to all the world. Preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized. Mark 16, 15 and 16. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. See, our job, our responsibility, church, is to make disciples of everyone we come in contact with. But see, we got to first and foremost believe that he is who he say he is. And then how obedient are we to his commandments? Mm-hmm. And I'm learning that when you're obedient to his commandments, guess what? You learn how to serve him. Oh, you think I come here because of you? No. You think I do what I do? No. I've learned from God's word that I am to serve him regardless of situations and circumstances. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those. And I want you to, you get a chance, you look at that, instructing those. Paul here writes these words to a young gospel preacher, and he writes them to the church, and he says, in the church, there's some folks that oppose themselves. Go back and read it. That oppose themselves, if God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledging of the truth, and that they escape themselves out of the snares of the devil who have taken captive by him at his will. And I'm learning that when you learn how to serve, just do it. That's pretty simple. Just do it. You think Nike got that from themselves? No, they got that from the Word of God. And somewhere down the line, church, we need to just do it. And I'm learning, but you can't do what you don't know how to do. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart as members of the body of Christ. Conclusion, how bold are you in the message of the cross? Does the message of the cross cause you to be bold? Does it cause you to be fearful? And you probably saying, no, I'm bold, but I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, he says, I'll deny you before my Father. I want to encourage us all as we leave this place today, be bold in your message of the cross. You know why? Because in the day of judgment, we're going to all give an account. Hope I've said something to encourage your heart. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.